tea. Isabel glanced to Theodore as she filled the kettle, hoping he would understand that she wanted him to distract Sophia so she could siphon away some of the worry. His expression darkened, and he glanced once at the Delta girl, who was too busy staring at the table and trying not to cry, to notice the minute shake of his head. Isabel pushed out her lower lip, silently begging him. His gaze narrowed, his arms crossing tightly over his chest before he let out a short, sharp breath, turning back to Sophia.
If this is any sort of trick, or...
It's not, Isabel muttered, interrupting the threat before he could voice it. She had cracked open her walls, and was slowly, subtly, sipping on Sophia's emotion. It was a chilling cocktail of terror and disbelief, made frigid with shock.
I'm not here to play the stupid game, Sophia snapped, immediately furious with Theodore. I'm here to help people. I don't give two shits about tricks and traps, unless they might cause harm to my family.
Where's your mother?
Theodore asked, without even missing a beat, his tone unapologetic. Isabel bit back a wave of nausea, cutting herself off from Sophia's emotions as she pulled four mugs down from the cupboard, able to see where they were through the mottled glass cabinet doors.
She's at the hospital for the next hour, Sophia answered. She'll be mad if she finds out I told any of you this. She doesn't trust any of these Ironside narcissists. No offense.
Isabel poured the hot water and carried the cups over to the table before claiming a seat.
You're here, Theodore said. You're an Ironside person as well.
I'm here to serve the Ironside people, so not really.
Sophia shrugged, curling her hands around the mug like she needed the heat to warm her.
Look, I'm sorry. I don't know why I thought you could help.
She shook her head.
Luis was having a massive panic attack, and I just... For a second, I thought it was going to happen, like, now. I wasn't thinking straight.
Were you trying to get to me?
Kian asked, entering the room again. He picked up Isabel's chair, nudging it up against Theodore's before dragging another chair to her other side and dropping into it, boxing her in. Isabel shifted nervously, uncomfortably aware of the tension lining both of the alphas, of the hardness in their guarded eyes, and the way they were treating Sophia like some sort of double agent, trying to lure Isabel into a secret lair full of Ironside spies just salivating at the mouth for the opportunity to tear back into her skin. She leaned forward a little, drawing Sophia's focus.
Ignore them, she suggested. Kian was there in Vermont, and Theodore had to spend all that time in the hospital with me. They're just being careful. But I am a little confused. Isn't this something you should be taking to the officials? To your mom? If your lives are in danger, you need to tell someone.
Oh, I will.
She laughed dryly, all humor wiped from the sound.
Watch them double security for themselves and their precious alphas. No offense.
She flicked a quick glance to either side of Isabel.
Again.
This time she looked a little guilty for the harsh words. Theodore and Kian stayed quiet, Theodore's hand falling to the top of Isabel's spine, his fingers brushing against the base of her neck.
You said in your message that you needed the alphas? She prompted Sophia.
Sophia nodded, staring down into her mug.
Ashford, specifically.
She glanced up to Kian, her expression wary.
Have you seen anything?
He responded.
I need to already be aware about something before I can use divination to find out more about it.
So?
Sophia swallowed, her face wincing.
Could you find out more?
About someone running around the academy murdering people?
Kian asked dryly.
Yeah, I think I could spare the time. Thanks for bringing it to my attention. First step is to take it to the officials,
Theodore said firmly, his grip drifting up so that his fingertips could reach more of Isabel's skin above the collar of her shirt.
Make it official, make a big deal about it, and do it tonight. Then follow it up again in the morning. Ask them outright what they're doing about it. You're right, They will tighten security for themselves. But singling out us over the rest of the student body is far more difficult and impracticable than simply tightening security around the entry and exit points to the academy. That should handle the situation if the attacker's from outside.
And if they're already in here? Isabel asked, masking a shudder. She had seen enough of death and almost death.
That's what I need to figure out,
Kian announced, standing.
We should get going. We'll be in touch. You need to convince Luis that believing things will happen does half the work.
Sophia arched a dark brow at Kian, some of her fear making way for curiosity.
You follow the religion, don't you?
What's it to you?
He shot back, glancing at Isabel like he was contemplating bodily tossing her over his shoulder so he could leave. She stood, moving with him to the door.
Just wondering what your thoughts are on Carter's long-distance bond,
Sophia said, using her sleeve to wipe away the dampness that still marked her cheeks.
If you follow the religion, then you know it's never happened before. Look at her.
Kian suddenly spun Isabel around, his hands tight on her shoulders, his tension leaking into his grip.
Adorable sex on a stick right here. And it's even sweeter because she would never dirty herself with someone like me, even if I am an alpha. I've got a bit of a reputation around here, haven't I? The only thing I think is that I'm a bastard who's going to be cursed by each of the gods for every day I take advantage of this situation.
Sophia's brows both popped up.
Okay.
Isabel just stood there, her face heating.
I think that's enough prying for one day.
Theodore opened the door, ushering them through.
Carter,
Sophia called out when they were halfway to the gate.
Thanks.
Isabel nodded at her, waiting until they were back in the chapel before she cut her attention to Kian.
That was a bit much.
He smirked, rubbing tattooed hands against his mouth, flashing her a tongue-piercing that had her pulling up short.
When did you get that?
It was on the tip of her tongue, but she bit back the question because it was none of her business.
Which part?
He asked, brimming with fake innocence.
Cut it out.
Theodore punched his shoulder.
Let's go. We've got shit to figure out.
Chapter 10. Problematic. Isabel leaned against the tiled wall of Theodore's shower, completely exhausted. The Alphas had called a group meeting to go over every detail of the Ironside employee with the divination ability, who had foreseen a terrorist attack on Ironside. The details had been twisted as much as possible to make sure the story couldn't be skimmed over. Kian and Theodore had made it sound like they had been in the chapel with her, the three of them praying for the officials to find her mate in good health, when two Ironside employees stumbled in and the situation escalated from there. The level of performance needed for the entire conversation had drained her. She washed her hair and scrubbed her skin, wishing for the first time in years that her father hadn't organized for her body hair to be lasered off. He had been getting annoyed at how much her morning shower routine was cutting into her rigid schedule, but now she wished she had something else to do, something to take up more of her time before she had to drag herself out again to deal with yet another attack that may or may not even happen. It wasn't that she wasn't taking it seriously, but there was some sort of block in her mind, her thoughts recoiling whenever she tried to acknowledge the possibility of what Luis had seen. There was a horrible, dark place inside her that whispered, "You won't survive a third time."
Gabriel closed the door to his room with a silent snick, pulling off his shirt and dropping it into the laundry hamper as he walked into his bathroom. They were all having showers before reconvening for movie night. He was pretty sure they all just wanted to sleep, but it was hard to go their separate ways. Isabel had been slipping them little hints of her own pain all day, and she didn't even realize she was doing it. She should have been completely settled after last night,
but something was off, and he couldn't figure out what it was. He had watched her most of the day. Whenever she touched her stomach, that confused dip weighing down her brow, that was when he felt it. The little twinge of pain. Elijah had felt it too, and he knew from the shift in everyone's sense over dinner that they had also felt something. Whatever it was, he knew they all wanted to keep an eye on her. Maybe it was that infernal chain hooked into her skin, or maybe it was a brand new layer of hell in the form of a new side effect they had yet to encounter. Whatever it was, she was one of them now, and they would deal with it together. Well, that, and nobody wanted to leave her alone with Theodore. He turned on the water and stripped off the rest of his clothes, setting his phone beside the sink. After folding a fresh set of clothes onto the bathroom bench, he stepped beneath the spray. He had just ducked his head beneath the warm water when the world around him tipped off its axis. He stumbled into the wall, shooting out a hand to steady himself as his vision blurred. Suddenly, he wasn't staring down at his shower. He was staring at a similar shower floor, the small blue tiles glittering with the shower spray as small, pale feet paced back and forth. He could feel everything. Her frustration, her fear, and the giant block of trauma that hovered over her head, threatening to crush her if her mind twisted down the wrong path. She walked from one side of the shower to the other, muttering low to herself. "You can handle this. You can do this. You've dealt with worse. Nothing has even happened yet. Get a hold of yourself." She felt alone. Didn't she realize nobody would ever hurt her again? They couldn't control every variable in the known world, but the girl had 10 half-bonded mates. It was as close as she could get to complete and utter protection. Except, they had already failed once, hadn't they? She sank onto the tiled ledge, her head tipping back to stare at the water pouring down from the giant rainfall showerhead. "Think of literally anything else," she instructed herself strictly. Gabriel contained a smirk, leaning heavily against the wall, since the sensation of being inside two bodies was so disorientating. He hadn't pegged her for a person who talked to herself, but maybe it was the stress getting to her. She suddenly looked down, and he froze, getting an eyeful of nipples the exact same shade as her soft lips, and long, pale legs stretching out to catch the spray of water. Shit. He managed to push away from the wall, feeling his way out of the shower and cringing at the water that sluiced all over the floor as he felt for his phone. He made it back to the bench, probably drenching his phone as he tried to focus on the screen. Isabel's tired sigh traveled through him, and he fought off a pounding headache as he focused just long enough to navigate into a secure message screen. He snapped straight back into her head as soon as he stopped fighting it, watching as she rested her hands against her thighs, rubbing up and down in an attempt to calm herself. It took several rounds of deep breathing to fight off the sick feeling that threatened to make him black out from his brief rebellion against the side effect. The bond did not fuck around, apparently. He would have to make note of that later. Gabriel raised his phone to his mouth, knowing intuitively where the text-to-speech button was. "I'm in your head." She looked up when she heard her phone, leaning out of the shower to snatch it off the counter. "Hidden member. Preview unavailable." She tapped on the message. "Unknown. I'm in your head." She swore softly, clicking on the unknown contact. It gave her the standard error when secured messaging was turned on. "This feature is currently hidden." Her fingers flew over the screen. "Isabel."
"Who is this?"
"You have 10 guesses." He spoke the message, hearing her slight chuckle as it popped up on her screen. She started typing again, before stopping, fixing her gaze to the wall. Why am I typing? She shook her head, another tired sigh slipping out. Will you text me when you're out of my head, please?
Yes. He kept his finger on the button, pausing. Are you okay?
I just want to think about something other than death or disaster for a second, she huffed out. Is this a professor?
No.
Are you telling the truth?
Yes. She waited before whispering.
Then why? Is it...
Isabel. He sent the message, cutting her off as she glanced at her screen. He swallowed. She didn't realize she had dropped the hand holding her phone, and he got another goddamn eyeful as she glanced down at her screen. He couldn't close his eyes, couldn't block her out. Call Isabel, he grumbled, raising his phone to his ear.
Gabe? Gabriel?
She saw his name flash across her screen before she answered. Yeah.
Are you okay?
She asked, fixing her eyes back to the wall after she clicked the speakerphone button and set the phone onto a small shelf behind her head, probably so that she wouldn't keep accidentally looking down at her lap.
I'm sorry.
Why was her pussy completely shaved? Must have been a rich girl thing, because he highly doubted it was to keep herself tidy for a sexual partner. He had never even met a more obvious virgin. For something you can't control? I'm fine. Are you okay?
Of course.
She lowered her voice as though it might prevent him from detecting the lie. He was starting to feel the pressure of needing everything to go right. But he pushed back his own agitation, working hard to gentle his tone. Something has been happening to you all day. Do you want to tell me what it is?
Just this weird feeling.
She was holding her stomach again. He couldn't see it, but he could feel it. Soft skin, wrapping subtle muscle, smooth as silk beneath her touch, water dripping from her fingertips. She had a beautiful body. It was like it had been created specifically to dance. It didn't seem to matter what she wore or what she was doing. Clothes fit her figure like they were made just for her, even when they were five sizes too big. Describe it, he prompted.
Just hollow pain? Sharp? I don't know. There's just this emptiness inside my stomach.
Like hunger?
I guess, but different.
Longing? She paused, but her soft stroking across the gentle muscles of her stomach continued. She must not have realized that he could feel what she was doing.
Maybe, she whispered. Something like that?
Close your eyes, Gabriel ordered, forgetting to make his voice soft. She flinched in shock, but his vision suddenly filled with darkness, and he let out a relieved breath. Good. He kept his voice no more than a gentle exhale. I want you to press your hand to the ache and think about what you want, what you need. She obeyed him again, like she always did. It made him itch with the need to give her another order, but it also made him inexplicably furious. Was this how the Omega bitch managed to get her hooks in so easily? Isabel was a people pleaser. She was too fucking easy to take advantage of. He focused on her body, on the hollow pain that she was sharing with him. It was awful, sharp and cavernous. Not so much longing as keen desperation.
I don't know. Her words were shaky. I think...
She pulled her hand away, breathing a broken sigh. The ache eased somewhat.
Touching myself makes it worse.
Oh, fuck. Of all the side effects, she had to get this one. I think I know what it is, he swore softly, shifting on the bench. But there's nothing we can do to fix it.
What are you talking about? She was touching her stomach again like she couldn't help herself.
It's one of the more brutal side effects. A sort of frenzy that only eases when you have sex with your mate.
She laughed, sudden and hollow. How many of them?
I wasn't advising it. A growl tried to ride Gabriel's tone, but he bit it forcefully back. He cared more than he thought he would. Not that the Sigma might fuck one of the other Alphas, but that she wasn't ready, and he knew it. And maybe he also cared if she fucked one of the other Alphas. That would be very inconvenient, if true, because it was inevitable, at least with Theodore. The two of them were like magnets, orbiting around the edge of a force that snapped them together the second they were close enough. It was like they belonged to each other. And maybe Gabriel cared a little bit about that. Maybe he cared a lot about that. Maybe that made him extremely uncomfortable.
I know, she said. How long does it last? It's bearable at the moment.
He felt a muted little pang of something in his own body, but he was too tuned into her to recognize what it was. Not that he was very good at recognizing feelings in the first instance, anyway. I can actually feel what you can feel right now, he decided to tell her.
And?
She sounded combative, stubborn.
It really isn't that bad.
It might get worse. He grunted when her fingers drifted up over the chain embedded into her skin. But if I remember correctly, it won't last more than a day. She glanced down, and all the breath left his body. He had seen her naked earlier in the year, when she pulled herself from the lake and onto the dock. He remembered thinking back then that she looked like a painting, and the errant observation popped up again. The alabaster tone of her skin seemed to sparkle. A mist of water scattered across her chest, each little droplet shifting and dribbling with each gentle swell of her breath. Her hair twisted across her skin in wet spirals, looking like an artist had painted them there with adoring brushstrokes.
Shit,
she hissed, diverting her attention from the chain and back to the wall.
Are you still, with me?
Yeah.
His tone was husky, and he hated it.
Sorry, she muttered. I'll try and get dressed without looking.
She stood, reaching for the taps. Sit down, Gabriel said, his tone soft, but laced with iron. She did, and he drew in a steadying breath. Now look down. Show me the chain. She dropped her chin, one hand delicately covering the junction between her tightly crossed legs, her other arm banded across her chest. A laugh tried to bubble up in his chest. I've seen it all, Illy.
Illy?
She echoed, a note of confusion in her tone. Just this once. Just while we're alone.
I don't understand you,
she muttered before dropping her arm. She kept her other hand on her lap. Does it feel like anything? He asked. She passed her fingers over the delicate links, pausing on the two gemstones that had appeared.
Only when it changes.
I would have torn it out by now, he admitted quietly. I never understood people like Kian, people who can inject ink and metal into their skin. It's disgusting. She scoffed quietly, seeming to enjoy the feel of the links dragging against the pads of her fingers.
I think it's beautiful, actually.
Well, on her, it was. Every fucking thing was beautiful on the painting herself.
Are you asexual?
She asked, conversationally. It was easier to talk this way. She apparently agreed. No, he said. Or sometimes, maybe. I'm sure there's a classification for it, but I've never been fond of classifying myself. It takes a special someone for me to go past a certain point.
I don't think I'm asexual, she said. I think I'm very, very, very not asexual.
His stomach tightened. Weird way to announce that you're horny. She dropped her fingers from the chain, her hand falling to her thigh. She didn't bother averting her gaze as she stretched her legs out to get to the water again.
I wish I wasn't a virgin, she grumbled. I wish it wasn't such a big deal. I wish I could just go get a normal boyfriend who isn't a mate and just get rid of all these feelings.
She trailed off, and he realized there was a low rumbling emanating from his chest. It was rough and furious, and he could feel the spark of fear that jolted through her. Damn it. Gabriel wrangled back the flash of furious possessiveness, not wanting to lose their moment. Sorry, he rumbled. I like talking to you like this. Being inside you makes me feel like I'm completely in control. I can see everything, and you can't. I feel like I could tell you anything. I don't think I've ever felt like this before.
What about Elijah?
She asked, keeping her voice free of the alarm that he could feel flash through her anyway. She thought he was fucked up. She would be correct. Other than Elijah, he said.
You said you have two best friends. You said they both sacrificed for you. Who is the other one?
Nico. She was silent for too long, and when she spoke again, her vision had blurred like there were tears gathering in her eyes.
Gabe,
she whispered. He couldn't trust his voice.
Do you think we can do this?
The tears spilled over, briefly clearing her vision before filling it again.
Like, forever? I don't want to be in pain forever. I don't want to be dancing this dance forever.
You won't. What the fuck are you saying, asshole?
How do you know?
She sniffled. Because I'm promising you. Fuck, 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 don't do that.
Say it properly.
She trembled on the edge of openly sobbing. Her breath hitched as she waited for him to pull her back. And God fucking damn it. He didn't want to see her fall. I promise, Isabel. Her sigh was shaky, her body falling limp against the wall. Where's your hand? He needed to distract himself. Or her. Or both of them. She held her hand up before her face, and Gabriel could feel her face twisting in confusion.
Right here?
Not that one. His purr was supposed to be deliberate. Instead, it slipped out before he could force it out. The other one.
Between my legs? She stammered. I didn't want to accidentally flash you.
You're already covered in water and tears. You might as well be wet everywhere. Rub your clit until you are.
Why?
Her breath stuttered out. Poor girl thought she needed a reason to come. Because as soon as you're wet enough, you're going to stick a finger into your honey and then suck on it, so I know what you taste like. I've never been a huge fan of fruit, but ever since I met you, I've been craving cherries. She choked on a tiny whine, a jolt of surprised pleasure sizzling through her body. It echoed into his, and he felt his dick filling with blood as her fingers drifted down over the flat plane of her belly. It broke him, the way she always obeyed. She skipped right past her little button, finding a warm, wet channel already waiting for her, as though his order had instantly sent a rush of nectar where she needed it. It dewed her thighs as she pushed a finger inside herself.
Jesus Christ, that's a good girl.
Gabriel didn't even realize he was feeling for the heavy length of his own desire laying against his thigh. It was thickening with every little pant she caught in her throat.
Are you?
She seemed to get shy before pushing her fingers into her mouth. Sweet, sticky cherry burst over his tongue.
Fuck. Shit.
He gripped himself tightly, pumping once, the movement rough. Am I what, Isabel?
Sure you might be asexual?
She burst out, her fingers falling out of her mouth. He laughed, a weird spark of joy lighting inside him. The feeling so bright, he couldn't figure out if it had originated from him or from her. Fingers back in your pussy, brat.
I don't usually do this,
she admitted breathlessly, her touches lazy, almost shy.
I mean, I have done this. I just...
You've been too busy trying to survive, he grumbled. You forgot to live. Lucky for you, I prefer to take control. Touch your nipples, beautiful girl.
You never talk to me like this, she gasped, her hips jerking at the reverence in his voice.
Just this once, just while we're alone,
he repeated his earlier sentiment. She pinched one of those pretty little nipples.
I think you would be better at this than me.
I am doing this.
Gabriel's dick was wet before, but now he could feel his own excitement leaking from the tip, making the glide of his hand even smoother as he thought about her annoying teleporting side effect, and how very convenient it would be if it activated at that moment. It was best this way, though. He wasn't sure he would be able to keep his hands to himself with her cherry essence on his tongue and the knowledge of how smooth and soft her skin was in his mind.
Are you sure you want to live without pain, Illy?
What?
Two fingers, he grunted. Now, good. Good girl. Now three. Rein it in, asshole.
He could only have sex when he was in complete control of everything that happened. And sometimes he needed to push his partner, just to make doubly sure that he was still in control, that they would still obey his every command. But he wasn't having sex with Isabel. He was... Shit. It was so much worse than sex. He just wanted her to feel good for once.
Tell me what feels nice.
He tried to temper the dominance wanting to rise up in his throat, to bark commands at her, to push and push and push until she cried again, because there was something not right in him, and he thought she sounded pretty when she was sniffling and calling him Gabe.
I like your voice, she whispered back. It feels good.
She was going to kill him. Gabriel eased his hand from his throbbing length, stretching out his fingers as the need to drive into her until he had somewhere wet and warm to release into seized up in his spine. He preferred to wear condoms, usually, and to tear them off at the last second so that he could come on his partner, instead of having it sticking to his own flesh. This fantasy was a new one, and he wasn't sure he liked it. He needed to end this. Time to come, he demanded, the harsh edge creeping back into his voice. But she liked it. Of course she did. She liked when he took the pressure off her shoulders and demanded she make herself feel good. Her fingers slipped from her channel, rubbing over her clit, and she flinched as she pinched her nipple too hard, almost making him explode on himself.
I told you to do something, Gabriel said calmly. So do it now, Illy.
She let out a small whimper, her release flooding through her body in a strong wave that had him biting his lip hard enough to draw blood. The intense feeling must have somehow jerked him back to his own body, but he barely noticed. He had intended to deny himself, but his hand was a magnet, drawn to the flesh that was already twitching, already exploding along with her. He couldn't have held it back if he tried.
and he thought he might have tried. But that was almost a distant memory, pushed aside as his thoughts filled with her taste, her breath, her scent, and the waves of her orgasm that pulsed through them both, leaving him with the violent aftershocks. She swore quietly, the sound carrying through his phone speaker as he settled back into his body. Her next whimper was a nervous one. He stroked himself slowly, feeling his own release against his still hard cock, too distracted to be grossed out by it. "I think your chain is beautiful," he said on an exhale. "I think you're beautiful," he wanted to add, because she deserved pretty words and platitudes, but she deserved clear boundaries even more. There wasn't going to be a romantic relationship between them. There couldn't be. The Alphas were his family, and he had bet his entire life on what they were doing at Ironside. One wrong step with Isabel was all they needed to collapse the whole foundation. Isabel grew still, pain lancing away the gentle aftershocks that shivered through her body. She clutched her stomach, the empty, cavernous feeling turning into a cyclone of horrible, sharp agony. When Theodore touched her, it had helped. A lot. Maybe Gabriel was right about this particular side effect, but if he had thought that sexual pleasure would help her, he was so wrong. "You aren't in my head anymore, are you?" she gritted.
"No."
His tone turned sharp with shock.
"What happened? You sound like you're in pain."
"It's worse," she groaned. He swore viciously.
"I'm going to hang up so I can get some things together. Do you need help getting out of the shower?"
"No." She stood up to prove it, but her knees immediately buckled as pain traveled like an electric shock through her limbs.
"That's a yes, isn't it?"
"Killian," she whispered, curling into a ball and hugging her arms around her knees. He was silent for a moment, but when he spoke again, it was on a soft exhale.
"Okay, I'll send in Killian."
He hung up, and she focused on trying to draw in one breath after another until the door flew open.
"Hey, baby."
Killian turned off the shower, kneeling in front of her, his hands gently lifting her face.
"You okay? What happened?"
He was stroking her cheeks, his pale eyes wide with concern, his beautiful mouth cinched into a tight line. "Pain," she moaned. "In my stomach."
"Okay. Shit. All right."
He yanked a towel off the rack, squeezing out the water from her hair and doing his best to dry her off without disturbing her position.
"You feel warm."
His hand pressed against her forehead, a frown digging down the sides of his mouth. He switched out the towel for a fresh one, using it to bundle her up and lift her onto the bathroom counter. He caught her legs as she hugged the towel around herself, helping to lower them slowly. She winced.
"Sorry you have to take care of me all the time."
"I like taking care of you," he rumbled, narrowing his eyes on her face. "Take that away from me and you'll find out what a stage 10 clinger looks like in an alpha's body. It isn't pretty. You feel like being squashed into a pancake?"
She laughed, but it cut off immediately on a pained groan. Killian extracted panties from the bundle of clothes she had brought into the bathroom with her, his fingers tucked into each side as he hooked her feet into them, his palms gliding up the sides of her shins, her thighs.
The pain doubled.
She fell forward, her forehead catching against his shoulder, a whimper tumbling out of her throat. He stepped between her legs, quickly lifting her with one arm as he tugged the underwear around her hips.
"Almost done,"
he soothed, cupping the sides of her face and kissing each of her temples.
"You're doing so well."
He tugged the oversized shirt over her head, pretending not to notice that it was his, which just made her want to cry and hug him at the same time. He lifted up the silk shorts she had brought in, a brow arching.
"You can't even see them under the shirt," she defended.
I'll get something more comfortable.
He ducked out of the bathroom, and she caught a glimpse of Theodore and Gabriel on the other side before the door fell closed again. When Killian returned, it was with a pair of loose sweatpants that swallowed her legs and needed to be rolled 5 times at the hips to stay on.
Let's get you settled.
He gathered her up, striding halfway across Theodore's bedroom, obviously intending to go into the hallway. She opened her mouth to protest him carrying her, and he cut her a sharp look.
You don't feel right.
Theodore appeared beside Killian, his voice deep and uneven, his hands rubbing at his chest as he reached out to open the door for them.
Usually I can't feel you at all.
She glanced at Gabriel, but he was wearing his blank expression, only the slightest furrow between his brows. Guilt clawed at her, but it wasn't her own. It was his. It scratched and tore its way into her chest, leaving her gasping as Killian turned into the hallway, stalked to the common room, and carefully sat her on the couch. Nico, Kian, Oscar, and Moses were already there, leaving plenty of space around the couch that someone had obviously prepared for her. They watched on quietly, Kian pausing whatever they had been watching. Elijah walked in with Mikkel and Kaelin, and she twisted her fingers together, completely at a loss for what to do or say with all of their eyes on her, their concern and confusion buffering against her already tight chest. As soon as Killian set her down, Gabriel pushed him away. It wasn't rough, but Killian still arched both brows at him, his watchful gaze traveling over Gabriel's tight expression before he backed off, muttering something low to Theodore, who was also watching Gabriel with a frown. Gabriel placed a warm, fluffy thing in her lap, and she blinked down at it in surprise.
Hot water bottle, he grunted.
It's pink.
Her voice cracked with pain.
And hideous.
He watched as she hugged it.
It was the only cover left, and I didn't want to wait for more to come in stock in case you needed it.
It really was hideous. The cover seemed to be made of thick sheepskin, frothy and fluffy and delectable to sink her fingers into, but it was quite a sight. Also, when had Gabriel ordered her a hot water bottle? He extracted one of her arms from the pink fluff, wedging a cool glass of water into her grip, and then he was shaking pills out of a bottle, holding them before her mouth.
Open, he demanded.
She popped her lips open, and he dropped the pills onto her tongue, the fierce look still digging into his features. She washed the medication down, and he took the glass from her again, tapping a thermometer against her lips.
Under your tongue, he demanded.
She let him take her temperature, which he seemed to note on his phone, before he pulled up a bag from the floor.
I didn't know what you might like, so.
He set the bag onto the couch beside her, and she peered into it, seeing a dozen different types of chocolate and candy. He glanced to the side, not really looking at anyone, though everyone was definitely looking at him with varying degrees of curiosity and confusion.
If it's what I think it is, sugar is supposed to help. There's ice cream in the freezer. Do you want ice cream? I'll get it.
He spun on his heel, stalking out of the room. Elijah gave her an unreadable look before turning and following him.
The fuck is up with him?
Oscar grunted. Killian picked her up and claimed her seat, bundling her into his lap. Theodore moved the bag of snacks and fell down next to them, dragging a throw from the back of the couch and passing it to Killian.
Thanks.
Killian lifted her a little so that he could wrap the blanket all the way around her, tugging the edges closed over her disastrous hot water bottle. Mikkel and Kaelin shared a look, Kaelin arching a dark brow at the other alpha before striding off. Mikkel focused back on her.
Let me know immediately if you need to go to the hospital.
She nodded, and he also left. She supposed it would look weird for the cameras if they hovered around her like concerned mother hens. Kian grabbed the remote, pressed play on their movie, and turned the sound up until it filled the room, vibrating along the walls. They were trying to minimize the whole incident, likely wary of saying the wrong thing or acting the wrong way. Whatever the reason, Isabel was immensely grateful. The last thing she needed, on top of the pain, was for everyone to discuss how the Bond was trying to force her to have sex with one of them.
"Any news about Luis's dream?"
she asked Killian softly, the sudden noise of the movie allowing her to speak freely. "Kian is getting similar warnings about death, more or less," he whispered back, as Theodore pulled her legs into his lap. "But we have no idea what it is or when it's going to happen, which usually means it isn't going to happen today."
"What are we going to do?" she whispered.
"We're sticking close together until the end of term. One of us always needs to be with at least one other Alpha, and we have to answer Mikkel's check-in messages in the group chat as soon as he sends them. So make sure you can always see or hear your phone, even while you're dancing."
"What about everyone else?"
She wanted to ask the question. It was on the tip of her tongue, but she swallowed it back. She couldn't even protect herself, and she suddenly had more than herself to worry about. A tether couldn't survive without an anchor. If something happened to one of the Alphas, what would happen to her? Theodore had been brushing his thumb along the arch of her foot, but he suddenly dug his nail into the sensitive skin of her ankle, drawing her attention to him with a snap, her lips parting in shock. He widened his eyes, giving her that innocent look he used to be able to pull off so well. Not so much anymore.
"He's pretty sure nothing is going to happen tonight."
Theodore wrapped his hand around her ankle, squeezing it in reassurance.
"Try to relax. There's nothing more we can do about that problem tonight. So let's focus on this problem instead."
She schooled her face into a blank expression.
"What problem?"
"Yeah,"
Moses drawled, his hands tucked behind his head, his dark gray gaze fixed to the screen.
"What problem?" "There's a problem?"
Nico managed to sound confused and genuinely concerned.
"Wow,"
Oscar drawled, also refusing to shift his eyes from the screen.
"You just called your little girlfriend a problem. Real smooth, Theo." "Wallace is a problem?"
Gabriel asked distractedly, walking back into the room with a tub of ice cream, a bowl, and a handful of spoons.
"Wallace is actually quite tall,"
Elijah added, directing the statement to Oscar.
"This conversation got problematic real fast,"
Killian mumbled against her temple. Gabriel shot him a look, holding the tub of ice cream out to Isabel. He jiggled it when she didn't immediately reach for it. As soon as it was in her hands, he quickly scooped some out into the bowl, then dropped a spoon into the tub for her, handing the rest out to the others. The bowl was for him, of course. There was no way he was going to double-dip that spoon of his. Theodore leaned over her legs, digging his spoon into the frosty, creamy concoction.
"You all suck,"
he said, after licking choc chip and mint cream from the cold metal. Chapter 11. Kinky Sour. Cuddled up in the cocoon of Killian's arms, Isabel felt something settling inside her that had felt uneasy for months. She was swamped by his calming scent, with Theodore gently tracing his fingers over her calves and the rest of the Alphas spread out around them. For a precious half an hour, with random muscled arms reaching over her lap to steal chocolate or candy, she felt like she belonged somewhere. It didn't really have anything to do with her, though. It was the way the Alphas were with each other. The easy, warm camaraderie they possessed, the inside jokes that sprang to their lips effortlessly, causing familiar groans and chuckles in response. It was the tension that had dissolved completely from Moses' face, the easy smile that crept over Nico's, and the way Oscar closed his eyes and kicked his legs up onto Gabriel's lap, who immediately shoved them off with a retaliatory kick. They seemed to be so comfortable with each other that they had almost forgotten she was there at all. Just another warm body on the couch, another sweet scent mixing with Theodore and Killian's aroma to create a light, harmonious fragrance that balanced itself out perfectly. They acted more like brothers than friends or roommates, their bond so obvious that it warmed her even though she wasn't a part of it. Kian, Nico, and Moses had moved to the floor right in front of her, resting back on cushions they had dragged from the couches and armchairs, their long, toned limbs spreading out in every direction. Moses had a hand tucked behind his head, one of his legs bent, swinging side to side to collide with Nico's leg in a casual touch that didn't even seem to be intentional. Nico's foot was jiggling, as though he would rather be doing something more active, but he laughed in a relaxed way whenever Moses muttered something sarcastic beneath his breath. Kian's shirt had ridden up, and he was absently stroking his own skin, his thumb passing back and forth across the hint of a black tattoo curling up from the waistband of his pants. When Nico hit his chest, he sat up quickly, sucking in a breath, and Elijah looked down at them in disapproval. "Careful, it'll get infected," Gabriel grumbled. Kian cupped a hand over where one of his nipples would have been, pouting at Nico.
"I just got that one done, asshole."
"Is there anywhere left you haven't just gotten done?" Nico tossed back casually. "You're really milking this special permission thing. Weren't you only supposed to get one tattoo finished?"
"Surrogating is hard."
Kian's pout deepened, but it only made him look delightfully sultry instead of truly pathetic.
"No offense,"
he added, tipping his head back to glance at Isabel. "You have my sympathies," she returned dryly.
"Appreciate it, doll. And,"
he swung his head back to Nico,
"for the record, I definitely have a few places left."
He waggled his eyebrows. Nico rolled his eyes, turning back to the screen. Isabel pulled out her phone, peeking over at Theodore beneath her lashes as she considered the message she wanted to send. It was his birthday today, his and Moses's. But had they celebrated it the night before? It didn't really seem like they celebrated anything. They just performed for the cameras and then went to sleep. She pulled up a message to Theodore, but then found herself stuck, realizing that if she sent a private message to Theodore, she would have to send a private message to Moses. She switched to the group chat. What should she say? Killian's chin brushed her head as he looked down at what she was doing, and she completely lost her nerve. There were a dozen things she wanted to say to Theodore, but not too many sentiments for his brother. She dropped her phone with a small huff, glancing over to Elijah, who was jotting things down on his tablet with an electronic pen, flicking his attention back to the movie every now and then. He was sitting closest to her on the perpendicular couch, his elbow notched on the armrest, close enough for her to reach out and tap hesitantly. "Would you mind if I borrowed that when you're finished?" she asked, leaning toward him as much as she could without testing whether too much movement would hurt her stomach or not.
"This?"
He held up the tablet, a blonde brow quirking in surprise. She promised, "Just for a little bit." His attention switched between his screen and her face a few times, and then he tapped on it and handed it over. "Thanks, Elijah." His other brow jumped up at the sound of his first name.
"So casual, all of a sudden."
"Do you mind?" She set the tablet on the arm of the couch, gently trying to shift her position to lean over it slightly, accepting the pen he handed over.
"I might."
He didn't sound like he did.
"But what will I call you? We're running out of petting zoo animals."
Gabriel scoffed, his eyes still fixed to the screen. Oscar flicked dark eyes to Elijah, but it was impossible to tell if he was frowning because of what Elijah had said, or if that was just his relaxed face.
"Petting zoo animals?"
Theodore asked distractedly, paying more attention to the movie than to their conversation.
"Rabbit and puppy," Killian supplied.
Elijah was watching her too carefully for him to be teasing her. It was like she had taken away his main source of entertainment, so he had turned his intellect on her instead. He was poking at her like she was a trick puzzle he had only 3 minutes to solve, and he was happy to break her apart if he could still get to her secret center. For a moment, she was buffeted by the weirdness of her own thoughts. But then she realized his agitation was itching at her chest, his fingers twitching for his phone like he needed something else to do now that she had taken his tablet. "I'm just going to draw something," she said, cocking her head at him, her hair falling over his screen. His brow smoothed out, moving on from their brief exchange as though they had just had one of those silent conversations he and Gabriel had all the time. Oh my God. Maybe they had. He reached over, gathering her hair in his hand. She thought he was just moving it off the screen of his tablet, but he held onto it loosely as he leaned closer, pushing up his reading glasses with his other hand, before tapping on his tablet, bringing up a sketching app for her. He released her without a word when Oscar turned in the opposite direction, his head by Gabriel's thigh, as he kicked his feet up into Elijah's lap, his eyes switching between Elijah and her. Elijah shoved his legs off with a disgusted murmur. Oscar immediately pulled them back up again, and then they were smiling and kicking each other with a little too much force, until Gabriel joined in, shoving Oscar off the couch. Isabel bit back her smirk, because she wasn't confident she wouldn't face retaliation if Oscar caught sight of it. She turned her attention to her task and began sketching a rough outline. Drawing had never been one of her strengths, but there wasn't a single artistic pursuit that her father hadn't provided tutoring for, so she at least had the basics down. She detailed a bouquet of flowers, slowly losing herself in the task. Theodore was bold and charming, wily and roguish, only sometimes allowing her to glimpse the wide-eyed boy from her first year at Ironside. She drew savage desert flowers and dark thorns, stems tangling in twine, fraying in places where the thorns cut like talons. But she added softness, too, sprays of delicate buds, wild like weeds, and puffs of pale, frothy color. It wasn't a typically beautiful bouquet, but it was compelling, hard to look away from, just like Theodore. "Beautiful," Killian whispered, his arm stretching out onto the table as he leaned down beside her. She smiled to herself, saving the image and starting on the second one. She thought it would be difficult, but it wasn't. Moses wasn't all that bad. He was tough and prickly, but he was also playful and flippant, fiercely loyal to his brother and his friends. She paused to pull up her phone, Googling which flowers were associated with loyalty. Iris. She outlined a bunch of irises, using them as the base of her arrangement and coloring them a deep midnight blue. She added wild flowers of every color, bright and dramatic, untamed and threatening to burst from the confines of the twine she drew around them. Dark thorns popped up in between vivid flashes of color, completing the image. "Who are these for?" Killian whispered, reminding her that he was still curled around her, still leaning with her, like he didn't want her out of the cocoon of his embrace.
"What are you two whispering about?" Theodore grumbled.
Killian's body jolted, Theodore jostling him from the other side. "Nothing," she said, sending both images to her phone before turning off the tablet and sliding it across the table, back to Elijah. "For their birthdays," she added lowly to Killian, as she gently pulled herself back up, careful not to move the hot water bottle too much. Killian pulled up with her, and she realized the credits on the movie were rolling. Kian, Moses, and Nico jumped up, slipping back into a bickering match over all the special privileges Kian was managing to wrangle out of the officials. Oscar rolled off the couch, stretching out his whole body before leaning over Isabel and snatching the Twizzler she had been idly sucking on while she had sketched right out of her mouth.
"Night, rabbit."
He bopped her on the nose with it before sticking the still damp end between his teeth and stalking out of the room. She immediately swiped at her nose, wrinkling it like a rabbit. Theodore, who had been watching her, choked on a sudden laugh and tried to cover it up by taking a massive swig from his water bottle. He stood, obviously thinking heavily about something, as he looked down at her.
How you feeling, pretty girl?
Like ass? Awesome.
His brows grew heavier, his eyes narrowing.
Kaylin and Mickey are going to want to have a quick word with you before you go to bed,
Elijah warned, standing to help Gabriel, who had started collecting all the stray cushions with a frown on his face.
Oh, okay.
She set the hot water bottle aside and opened the blanket, testing out how easy it was to stand. Gabriel stopped what he was doing, the rest of them watching her as she shot out a hand, Killian easily catching her as he stood behind her. Her head swam dizzily for a moment, but there was no debilitating clench of pain. It had dulled to a faint throb at some point, probably because of the medication Gabriel had given her.
Are they,
She glanced toward the hallway. She had no idea where they even slept.
In one of the offices?
Try Kaylin's office,
Gabriel suggested, his russet eyes traveling over her slowly, an oddly calculating look pinching his features.
It's the first door after you enter the dorm. Their residences are above their offices, but they're probably still downstairs.
She nodded, giving Killian a grateful smile before she moved to the hallway.
You can take the bed when you're ready,
Killian called after her.
I'll sleep on the couch in my room.
She scrunched up her nose again, wondering if he had practically shouted that on purpose. Theodore and Nico needed to give him acting lessons. And that was coming from her. She knocked on the door to Kaylin's office.
Come in,
his deep voice commanded, traveling faintly through the thick wood. She eased the door open, glancing quickly at Kaylin and Mikkel before she slipped through and closed it behind her. As comfortable as she had been a few minutes ago, surrounded by all the other alphas, she was now equally as uncomfortable standing before the professors. They were quiet, both of them in chairs by the window, a book in one hand and a drink in the other. Mikkel also seemed to have his laptop pushed to the side, and Kaylin had another small stack of books by his elbow, as though he regularly changed his mind about what he felt like reading. She raised her head again, her face flushing as she shifted from foot to foot.
Isabel,
Kaylin greeted.
Pull up a seat.
She caught the flick of his hand, gesturing to a stool not far from them, and she moved to nudge it the rest of the way to their table, before perching on the edge of it.